Okay, so Luke chapter 2, verse 34 and 35 will be the source of our meditation today. So Luke chapter 2, verse 34 and 35, where we read, "And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce to thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And so we want to put the primary focus on the 35th verse. "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So, we see here that Simeon gives a blessing. He takes the Lord Jesus into his arms, and he's full of joy, full of happiness, and he blesses, but we have to consider here that how strange that this blessing is. It's such a remarkably strange blessing. How can it be that Simeon gives a blessing and says to the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, says to her, "Yeah, a sword shall pierce through your heart, and that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, and your son is set for a fall," which is going down, falling, like in a battlefield, so that in a battlefield, if one is stricken, they fall, and arising again. What a strange blessing! There's no wonder that they, Joseph and his mother, marveled at those things that were spoken of him. It was a marvel to them. They didn't understand, and they marveled at what was taking place. And then Simeon gives them a blessing. We would think a blessing is nice things, is saying nice things to Joseph and Mary. And we think of a blessing is putting our hands on, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee, and make his face shine upon thee, and give thee peace." We think that's a blessing, right? And yet, he says here, in the blessing, "A sword is going to pierce your own heart." Is that a blessing? How strange of a blessing that is. And yet, it's a blessing that is what we would may call a blessing in disguise. A blessing marveled at and not understood. And today is the same, because we want to also consider that when he says a sword shall pierce your heart, then he also adds to that something very remarkable. He says, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that, so he's giving a reason why a sword is going to pierce through her soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So that the thoughts of many hearts, remember, mark well, not the thoughts of many people, but of many hearts will be revealed. And take also very particular note that he doesn't say that the thoughts of all the hearts will be revealed. So we have to be very particular to the language here, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So a sword's going into her soul, that the thoughts of hearts may be revealed. If we think how strange this blessing is, and yet we pray that the Lord, for us here today, will open up this mystery a little, that this mystery may be revealed to us. Because when Simeon says that, and he talks about the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, today the operation, we call this an operation, the power operation of the Holy Spirit, is continually revealing the thoughts of many. And Mary may be the example for, even for us today. Mary is an example for us today and for those whose hearts are being revealed. What does this mean? And therefore we invite you this afternoon to come with us, to come with us into the depth of this mystery, for it is very mysterious. But let us go deeper into the mystery of the piercing of the sword into the soul of Mary, and may the sword also be piercing your soul today. That like Mary's soul was pierced through with the sword, that our hearts may be pierced through as well today. And also, you will hear and recognize that this sword, as welcome. So this sword that is piercing into the heart, into the soul, it may be today that you recognize it. We hope that as we expound this, that you recognize the sword and recognize that the soul sword has pierced through your heart as well. Our prayer, our hope, is that you may find the recognition of this taking place in your own soul, but also that if the sword has not pierced through your soul, that it may pierce through today. The sword that pierces through Mary's heart, what does it mean? What is the sword? What is the sword symbolic to? What is it symbolizing? Because we know that the sword is not meant in a literal sense. A literal sword did not pierce into her heart. But this is symbolic. A sword is symbolic with, as we read in, for instance, if we go to Hebrews chapter 4, then in Hebrews chapter 4 we read the verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit." Listen to what is being described here. "Of the soul, piercing the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner," and here it comes, "and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God is quicker than a two-edged sword, and it's dividing and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Keep this in mind. Now, Simeon says here that the word, this sword, which is the word, shall pierce through thy own heart also. And she's saying this because that the fall and the rising of many in Israel will be a sign. A sign, and it'll be spoken against. So, we see here that Simeon has the child in his hands. The Lord Jesus, Hannah, can you please go out? Can you please? Simeon holds the child Jesus in his arms. And Simeon, as he's blessing Mary, he's talking about the child Jesus Christ. He's speaking about and bringing and presenting Jesus Christ as the one who will be because he says here, behold this child. So this child, whom he has in his heart and his arms, will be the reason why the sword pierces the heart or the soul. So he presents this child Jesus. And when it says in Hebrews 4 that the word is a two-edged sword, and Simeon says here, this child will be the reason why will be the word which will go through your soul. What does Simeon mean here? What is Simeon speaking about here? The word is God. The word is Christ. And Christ is the one whom, as we read in John 1, it says, the word was with God and the word was God. So Christ is the reason why a sword shall pierce the heart. And why is it necessary that Mary's heart or soul be pierced through with the sword? It's symbolic. It's symbolic, and it's written in, or it's described here, that the sword shall go through for this reason, that you and I and Mary, in our soul, in our heart, are filled with intent. What is our intentions? What is living in our hearts? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. What is in our heart? What is bottled up in our heart? If we have to ask this question to each one of you, what would your answer be? If we have to say here today, describe your heart. What lives in your heart? What is taking place in your heart? Because your heart and your thoughts are one. And nobody can know them unless you tell. When you say to someone who is maybe deep in thought, and you say, what are you thinking about? Or maybe you say to someone, what's bothering you? Maybe you can tell something, but you don't know what. What are you thinking about? What is taking place in your mind? And what is taking place in your heart? Because your mind and your heart are connected. What comes in through your thoughts gets worked in your heart. As an example, if you see, let's give an example, if there's love between a husband and a wife, and a husband and wife have not seen each other for a time, and your thoughts are going to your wife or your wife to the husband, and when you see each other, the thoughts, what's happening in your mind and your heart gives a reaction, maybe an embrace or joy, and the reaction is coming through your mind and from your heart. That's how you're reacting. But that's why it says quicker than a two-edged sword, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, the thoughts are part of the heart, and what is the intent of the heart? If there's anger, the heart is full of intent. Maybe if there's anger to someone, maybe the heart is that working of anger and frustration, and maybe even murderous thoughts. You see, because it's working together, and the intents of the heart work together with thoughts, with mind. You see, and so what is your thoughts? What lives in you? What's in your and what's in my heart? What's in Mary's heart? What's in Joseph's heart? They're marveling at these things, and they're not saying, whatever he's talking about, I don't know, and I don't care. They're here in the temple, Simeon, Anna, and the other ones, and Mary, he says in another place, Mary kept these sayings in her, and these sayings continually in her heart and mind. This was working out in her heart and mind. What does this all mean? But when it says that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, there's a purpose to this. There's a purpose that a sword must go through. We asked, and we'll ask again. If you are here, and when a question comes to you, what lives in your heart? What's taking place in your heart? This is a big question, because we have to see two things in this. Our heart by nature is what? Is hard. Our heart is sinful. So that our heart deceives us. By nature, our heart seeks after and lusts after the things of the world. Don't think so lightly about what's taking place in your heart. It's cramped right full of all kinds of things. And if someone would have to look into your heart and was able to look into your heart, what would they find? You understand, you realize that if the heart is full of something, if the heart is full of idolatry, or the heart is full of the desires and lusts of fornication, idolatry, theft, whatever it may be, then let's take the example. If my heart is intent on theft, my mind is always finding things to steal. You see? If my heart's desire, if that's the lust of my heart, is theft, all I'm doing all day long is finding, looking for ways, crafty ways, how I can steal and take. If my heart is full of wickedness in fornication or idolatry or even idolatry, then my heart, my mind and heart are working together, continuously finding ways, even when I'm subconscious maybe about it. My heart is so deceitful, so wicked, and the intents of my heart work with my mind. You see, and so it is that what Simeon is saying here is the heart, the deceitfulness of the heart from our fall. He's come for a fall and a rising in Jerusalem. Our heart from our fall, it has no good intentions. It never has, never will. From a young baby, I'm conceived and born in sin. My heart, by nature, the way I am, is full of lust, full of desires, full of worldly wickedness. That is my heart. And there is no good thoughts that proceed from my heart nor my mind. There is nothing good. Because even a good thought may be helping someone by my heart of nature. Even if I was to help someone, and we would say, well, that's a good thing to do. That is something nice. That is something that is good. It's a good thing coming out of the heart. But if it's coming from of our heart by nature, what at the end result, what is it? The end result will always be so that I can gain something. I am willing to maybe help someone, but as long as I gain something after that, as long as I gain something, as long as I receive something, so our heart's intent is even wrong in helping someone. This is by nature. Our heart is so hard that Stephen had to say, ye stiff-necked, ye stiff and hard of heart, your heart is like a stone. What does Isaiah say? Isaiah says, the Lord says in Isaiah, I will take the stony heart and make it soft. Right? But how? So our rock heart, our stony heart, it's not flexible. It's hard, full of deceit, full of worldly lust, full of wickedness, full of thoughts contrary to God. And other parts of God's word says, because of that, our mouth is an open sepulcher, whereby we bless and curse at the same time. There is asp underneath our tongue. Our poison proceeds from the mouth. This is terrible. This picture is horrible. That there's nothing in me that is good. God looked down upon earth to find one, and he found none. He found none that seeks after God, not one that doeth any good. Look at the state. Reflect for a moment on the state of my heart and your heart by nature. How we are coming to this world. God reveals it all through his word. That all of my intents, my thoughts, my heart is full of wickedness, full of evil desires against my neighbor and against God. And he says, love God above all and your neighbor as yourself. And we will even try to try to fulfill it a little. And at the end, we would only have to recognize that it's only to self-serve myself. It's all self-serving by nature. That's my heart by nature. God tells us all through his word, but Simeon brings in a mystery here, a mysterious revelation, a prophecy, because there's a reason why Jesus Christ is in his arms. Now I have seen thy salvation, that I would see the Lord's Christ. What is the Lord's Christ? A redeemer, a deliverer from the Romans, from the people that were persecuting and torturing and the Jews then. Many thought that. But Simeon saw deeper. Because what Simeon said here was that Mary, a sword would pierce through her soul into her heart and will reveal what the heart is, the thoughts, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You see, so Simeon says here, this little child that you have in your that I have in my arms here, this is not an ordinary child. This child here will be set. God will set this child almost as a trap. That is what he's saying here: a fall and a rising again. This child is the child of the living God. And in and through this child, your soul will be pierced. And Mary is the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, who can come closer to the child? If you're a mother here, if you see mothers, they hold the child in their arms. And try to take a child out of the arms of a mother to do evil, to do harm. Try to do that. You'll come up against a mother that is very, very fierce about who will take their child. And so Mary is representative of the closest one to Christ and representing all those who will be drawn close to Christ. That's how Mary is being represented. So the sword going through her soul is a sword will go through your soul, and in the outward sense, that you are so close that you are the mother of the Lord Jesus, it will be impossible for you to manage. And so it is for a sinner today. Do you recognize this? Because what has to happen? What must take place if Christ is set for a fall and a rising up in your heart? What has to happen? What must take place? The thoughts and intents of your heart must be opened up. Must be revealed. What lives in your heart today? What's taking place in your heart today? This week? Because by nature, we keep it all to ourselves. No one will know my heart. Because you know, if someone knows your heart, and if you're 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, you have a heart that is full of those things that you want nobody to know. Your conscience testifies of that. Even, we may even say, wow, I'm so happy that even my mother or my father or my wife or my husband doesn't know half of the things that happens in my heart, that takes place in my heart, and that has taken place in my heart. It's the heart, the thoughts in the heart is closed, is something that you guard, Right? And only when we see sin taking place does the mouth even minusculely explain what's happening in the heart. And we have that on both sides. If you are singing and you are joyful and you are actively joy in singing, what's taking place? Something is happening. You're bringing out in your face, your facial expression, your mouth is singing or doing what, bringing out what is lively in the heart. But likewise, if you see someone cursing and maybe mocking and all kinds of and angers coming out of their mouth, you know it's coming from their heart. What's living in their heart? So many husbands today are evil, are causing evil or grief to your wives, and maybe vice versa also. Why? Because the heart is not right. The heart's not right. So what the mouth is speaking, what the heart is living. You see? And if it's evil and maybe idolatrous or idolatrous, whatever it might be, that's what's going to come forth. When you see frustration, anger, what's happening? What's living in the heart, what's alive in the heart, is coming forth. You see? It's not just made up. It's who you are and who I am. And now, Simeon says here, a sword is going to come through that very heart, right into the center of that heart. And what is it going to do? What does Hebrews say? What is it going to do? It's going to come into that stony, hard, wicked heart and pierce it right through the center of it. What does it symbolically mean? It's going to break it open. It's going to split it into pieces. What did we read in Hebrews 4, chapter 12? And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, the sword is going to, the two-edged sword is going to pierce through the heart. And what is going to be the result? That is why Simeon is saying this, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. For Mary, you're a sinner too. Mary was not holy on account of her own actions. Mary, contrary to the Roman Catholic religion, is not a holy person outside of receiving grace from her son, Jesus Christ. Mary is no different. And a soul in the gospel light must pierce through into the heart. Has a soul pierced into your heart and broken and asunder and revealed everything? See, because by nature we don't want that. And yet that's exactly what the gospel does. What is that sword? That sword is the Word. Who is the Word? The Word is Jesus Christ. The Word comes into the heart. And what does the Word do? What does this Word do? If we know this Word is Jesus Christ, what is the Word doing? It's revealing who we are. And it's breaking asunder everything in our heart. And it's all the pages of my heart laid open before Him. Why? Why does a sword pierce through the soul of Mary? And why is the sword pierced through in the gospel, pierced through the heart of sinners? See, because it's not a small thing when God saves a sinner. It's not something that happens in a corner. It's not something that just nonchalantly happens in your life. We have to tell you this. It's not just something that is obvious or something that will sometime in your life happen or has happened without you receiving it, without you knowing it. No, a sword, the word, will pierce through your heart. And what will happen? What happens when, in a literal sense, a sword pierces through the heart? You die. You can't live. When a sword comes through, you fall. You fall. You will be set as a... What did we read here? Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. The sword pierces the heart. And what are you? Who are you? When the word of God pierces into your heart. And what is the word of God? If you sin, if I sin, we must die. That's the word. Death. Death to sinners. And the sword comes through the heart, through the gospel, and we drop on the battlefield. Because, why is that? Because when we're on the battlefield, in a literal sense, we're fighting hard, maybe to stay alive, and to destroy the enemy, right? But, what must take place? Or what does take place? When you lose, the sword goes into your heart and you drop. That's the symbolism that they're giving here. But here is the gospel glory in this. Jesus Christ was the one. Jesus Christ is the one who took the sword first and who dropped at Calvary. Jesus Christ is the one who went before. And he died, he bled and died for our righteousness. And in the same manner as Jesus Christ went before, must happen to you and me. What is your thoughts? What do you have hidden in your heart? Because so many people hear the gospel. So many people receive the gospel. And it opens a little. It's like the point of the sword is going into the heart. But you keep it yet. Because if it goes further, it's going to reveal even more of the poison of your heart. And we don't want that. We like to stand straight up. I'm not so bad. And the gospel comes near to you and near to you. What are you holding back yet? What are you holding in your heart that you don't want revealed? And Christ says, you must die. The sword must go right into your soul. And all of your thoughts and intents, all of your intents must be revealed before the tribunal of God. A sinner must be laid open before God. The heart pierced, the soul pierced in by the word of God. And the word of God comes in the gospel light and says, you are a sinner, but Christ is a savior. Christ has come to save those who are lost. And that's why when he says here that for Mary, a sword will pierce through and it will reveal the thoughts of many hearts. Think about this. How did Mary go through her life as a mother? Mary, when the child was but just born, was fleeing into Egypt. Mary was just after this leaving Jerusalem, and she was But what took place? She was along, going along the road from the Passover, and they couldn't find Jesus Christ, her son. And her heart was anxious. And her heart was sorrowful. She came into the temple and said, did you not know we were looking for you for days now? Christ said, wish you not that I must be in the business of my Father? What's happening there? What's taking place? This is no normal child. What's taking place? She is revealing what's living in her heart. Sorrowful. Looking for the child. When she gets to the cross, she sees her son Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And what takes place? Mary can't do any other than weep and cry, my son, my son. How close Mary was, because it was her son. And what's happening there? What's taking place there? She's revealing the sorrow and pain of her heart. Because when the word comes into the heart, like the sword pierces the heart, it's two-edged. See, now we begin to understand more of the two-edged. Because the one edge of the sword slices equally than the other. Two-edged. We know a sword has a point and then two edges. Both edges are sharp. It's not like a knife, that one edge is sharp. What does that mean? A two-edged sword into the heart is law and gospel. Law breaks on the one side, slices into the heart and kills. But gospel also slices into the heart and reveals a way out. You see? That's the two-edged sword going into the soul. And what's happening with Mary? Just think about this. At the cross, Mary is crying out for her son. She's full of sorrow, full of anguish. She's, maybe we can, in her mind, we see two of the disciples or maybe others holding Mary up. And her heart is crying and tears are falling. It's my son, my son. And she sees other people whipping her son. She sees other people nailing him to the cross. And she's being almost restrained by people. She can't go and help her son. Her son's condemned. She wants to break loose and free her son. Can you see this? Why? What's happening? This is where the soul is, the sword is entering her heart. But listen, as she's weeping and sorrowful, her heart is revealing her intense, what's happening, the emotions for her son. And what's happening at the same time? She's being restrained from freeing him. Why? Why is that? Because she also sees there what Jesus, her own son, told her. I, for you, mother. Mother, I'm doing this for you. I'm being crucified. I shall bleed to death. I'm groaning here. Think about this. Mother, I'm groaning here on the cross because of you. See how law and gospel slices on both sides? And how painful this is? On the one hand, she wants to free her mother or her son. On the one hand, her heart beats and cries out for her son. And on the other hand, she must die to self. Mary, I for you. I take this for you. And how close was Mary to her son? Who was not just an ordinary person. What the Holy Spirit is saying here is what the Holy Spirit wants to teach us here is that when a sinner, I pray that you, that your heart is receiving this, that when a sinner comes to Christ, when a sinner is being drawn by Christ, that it goes both ways. Sorrow, the heart, is revealed. Sorrow over sin. Sorrow over wickedness. Sorrow over my and pain in your heart for who you are and for what you've been. But also a sorrow like a mother's sorrow for Christ. Did you and do you experience this? That when Christ is calling through his gospel light, that Christ, that you come before Christ, and you have to say, Christ is, because the sword, the word is piercing your heart. You have to say, I am lost. I am a sinner. I have done foolishly. I have been wicked. I don't deserve grace or mercy from God. My whole heart is laid out. But, oh, I have such a love for him. My heart is crying out like a mother's heart. My heart is like a mother's heart for her son who's being tortured. Like an intense grief for seeing. And you have to say, how can this be? And Christ says, Christ reveals to you when you have to say, I am a sinner. There is no hope for me. There is no reason for me. I am so perverse and so wicked. And yet a love to the cross. That is the sword, the two-edged sword, piercing into your heart, making a hard heart soft. And you have to say, you have to look behind and say, this is who I am and who I was. And this is Christ. I want to embrace him. I want to free him. And Christ says, no, I suffer for your sins. Mary, your heart is sorrowful. Great tears are dropping. Mary was maybe being held up by other people, for she was fainting from sorrow, seeing her son. And at the same time, there's an operation happening here. Do you see it? The exact same time, the love of Christ for her mother was so deep that he gave his own life. What a paradox. Two-sided. Because if Mary could save her son, it would be lost for her. You see, if you, maybe in the sorrow of your heart, can save Christ from the cross, and you have to say, no, it's my fault, it's my sins, I have been wicked, Christ does not have to die for me, I have to die. Christ says, no, stop, I will die for you. And the heart of Mary is like your heart. It can't get any closer. You know what is so, it would seem so strange and yet so true? Your heart is drawn to Christ, and it's drawn to Christ in such a way that as payment is being made for your sins, and you see Christ suffering, and Christ is drawing you, you're coming together, and two is becoming one. Christ and the sinner is becoming one. And yet, it shall not happen. It can't happen without your heart being pierced through. Your soul being pierced through with that two-edged sword. It seems maybe so strange when you hear this, but this is exactly what Simeon meant. And then he says, a sword will go through your heart, Mary. Mary, you're going to be so close to your son, and you're going to faint from sorrow
for your son when you see him there hanging on the cross.
And so now you see, because he says, and he blessed them. What a strange blessing. You're going to be pierced through. But is it so strange? This is the blessing.
Mary, you're going to see your son hanging on the cross, and you're going to faint from sorrow. But the blessing is, your son is dying for you and is going to return life to you, Mary. And that,
and then he says here, so remarkably, that he says, what was our text? That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So not just Mary, but Mary is an example. Mary here is almost like John the Baptist, the forerunner. And why Mary? Because Mary, there's no one closer to the Lord Jesus than Mary, naturally. Mother and son. You can't get anything closer. And mothers know this. When mothers see their son go astray, or when mothers see their son, things that happen to their son, a mother's heart cries out. If a mother's son has done, even in an outward way, wicked things, maybe theft, whatever it may be, and her son is in jail, do you think a mother says, "Well, serves him right"? No. Son and mother are very, very knit together. A son and mother, and maybe and a mother's heart, and we can say son and daughter, but in this case, to the son, it's knit very closely to the son. So he says here, Mary, this is the blessing. A sword will go through your heart, but not only you are going to be an example. You are the forerunner, almost, if we can put it as a forerunner, because many after you, many thoughts are going to be revealed. Many hearts are going to be opened. The sword is not only going to go through your soul, but the sword is going to go through your soul to be an example how that the sword of the word, law and gospel, pierces through hearts in the operation of salvation. Have you experienced that? Has the sword pierced through your heart? And was it double for you? On the one hand, you cry out, "Oh, sinner that I am, every thought, every intent of me is wickedness. Every intent, every thought, every deed of me is wickedness." And at the same time, the gospel comes. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And Jesus Christ has come for saviors, to save sinners from eternal damnation. You see? And a sinner, and you have to say, maybe tonight here, this afternoon here, you have to say, "But how? How is that possible? If you only knew my heart, how perverse and how much I hate God with my heart, that I'm a hater of God." Yeah, because the Holy Spirit works in your heart. And through the word, to this gospel, the sword comes in and it's bang. And the word comes into your heart. Maybe you sit under the gospel preaching for years, and suddenly the gospel breaks your heart and comes into your heart, and you say, "Whoa, is it that bad with me?" And at the same time, the gospel comes and says, "Yes, sinner, but there's hope, there's a way out through Jesus Christ." It's happening simultaneously in your soul. Maybe now, today, and if not today, maybe it's happened to you and you're recognizing it. This is what takes place in the soul. Do you recognize when that happened to you? It must happen to you. It must happen in your heart. You must understand. You must be there as Mary was there, as the forerunner. And what does it do? It draws you closer to Christ, closer and closer to Christ. And what's drawing you? What's really drawing Christ and you together is your sins. That's what's drawing you together. Not your love for Christ. We only love Christ because He loved us first. If our sins are pardoned and forgiven, love for Christ doesn't draw you, but your need, your sins. Because being drawn to Christ, there's a way of escape. But your heart is opened up. Here I am. Here's my heart. Here's my open heart before Christ. And you come before Christ. And right to the cross. And you're crying because the love of Christ is drawing you so deeply. And at the same time, Christ is saying, No, not. Christ is saying, for you, sinner, come closer. But you say, not this much. The mother of Mary says, why does my son have to suffer so deeply? And Christ says, no, I will suffer more. I will suffer so that I die. And the mother says, maybe the mother says, enough suffering. No more suffering for my son. And Jesus Christ says, no, hold your peace. Be quiet. I will die too for you. I will even die for you. Is that your experience? But even further here, when Christ has done this, when Christ has revealed your heart, if your heart is revealed and Christ has with operation the power of the Holy Spirit is discerning your heart, then Mary, the other Mary, they went to the grave, and what takes place? There's a rising up again. There's a rising up with Christ again. And Mary and the disciples encouraged one another. Mary and the disciples, afterwards, the mystery was revealed. And you too must have to say, if Christ has been revealed and this mystery has been opened up to you, is open unto you, you too must say, I didn't understand it, but my heart and my intents have been revealed. And what takes place? What happens? Now Christ, dwelling in your heart, in your soul, the life in your soul, now it comes out of a longing desire to serve Christ. You see? When this takes place, until you die, it is one longing desire. Because you must have to say, Christ controls my heart. Christ is my heart. The sword has pierced me. I have died, but I have also risen with Christ. And now my heart's intents are Christ's heart and Christ's intentions. What Christ wants, you want. What Christ does, you do. What Christ seeks, you seek. Why? Because Christ has filled your heart. And that's why you see Simeon, his mouth is praising God, because his heart, he's revealing what's living in his heart. That's why Peter and Paul and the disciples went out and preached the gospel. And what took place? What happened when they preached the gospel? What was living in the heart was being revealed in their mouth. That's why Stephen, while being stoned, said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. None of us want to forgive someone who's stoning us unless it's coming from the heart of Christ. Then there's forgiveness in our heart. And that's why we read throughout God's word of the joy, the unspeakable joy coming out of the mouth, because the heart is filled with the heart of Christ. But without Christ, without the Word piercing our heart, there is no Christ in our heart. And we can even come close. We can, many, many, many people come very close. They imitate. But that's why John 1 verse 5 says, try the spirits, whether they be of God. Try them. What is the spirit coming out of the spirit of Christ? The willingness of Christ? The desires of Christ? The love of Christ? Do you have the heart of Christ in you? And even then, you have to say, like David said in Psalm 139, O Lord, search my heart. That's why Psalm 139 is so precious of a song. What does he say? Lord, search my heart. See if there's any deceit in there. And we have to say, well, there's always deceit. No, not a heart of Christ. What David is saying here, Lord, search my heart. Is my heart the heart of Christ? Is there any deceit in my heart? Lord, search me. What is he saying? Lord, search if my heart is your heart. Do I have a heart of Christ? Is my heart right with God? And is only right with God if Christ has forgiven. And if Christ dwells in you. That's why he says in Colossians, he says, now you have risen with Christ. Seek not the things of below, but seek the things of heaven, that your heart may be filled with the love of Christ, with the desires of Christ, with the intents of Christ. And what does it say? That you might be Christ-like, so that you may be a witness, Christ-like, so that people see that image, that person, that woman, that mother, that father, that child portrays a Christ-like figure. Because being Christ-like is having the heart of Christ. Being pierced through the soul, all of the intents being opened up and taken by Christ at the cross. All of your sins, your wickedness, your rock-hard heart, split in half, split into pieces, and Christ taking it all. All of the sins, all of the wickedness, taking it to the cross and saying, no, I take this for you, Mary, for you, Mother, and for all those who through the sorrow of Mary will come to me for forgiveness. But I take first, whence the heart is pierced and you die, I take the death upon me. You see, Christ says, I have to die because I'm taking your death. The heart, Mary, your heart is pierced and you must die. But you're going to live and I'll die for you. And I will take your sins upon me and I will give you life. And that is the discerning of the heart, the intents of the heart being laid out and open before God. Lord, bless these few words to your soul. For his great name's sake, amen.
Amen.
Let's end with prayer. Oh Lord, thy word did go out this evening, but Lord, oh Father, we pray thee and beg thee that thou wilt also reveal unto us why it was that thy word was so difficult to bring this evening. Lord, we know and are persuaded that there is something here this evening that warred against thy word. And we don't know what it is, Lord. and yet thou didn't bring it out. But Lord, whatever it is, we beg thee and plead with thee if thou would take it out of the way. If it is the prince of darkness, if Satan is great at war here amongst us, then that thou would take it and remove it, Lord. Lord, we are not sure, but we pray thee that thou would give it, that thou would reveal it unto us, so that we may know. Lord, if it is so, oh, we have to bring it before thee, Lord, if it is so, that even maybe one or more amongst us are involved with witchcraft, wilt thou please reveal it to us? And wilt thou please break it then, Lord? We don't know, Lord, but thou knowest. If the devil was here present through someone or through people, Lord, we beg thee and plead with thee that thou would reveal it. O Lord, for thy kingdom is at war with the kingdom of this world. And that war was so heavy this evening. We beg thee and plead with thee to intervene for us, Lord. We pray it looking to thee alone, who is able and who is the winner, who is the great, the one and only conqueror of the souls. Lord, thou art a searcher of the heart, and thy sword pierces into the soul, the sword of thy word, and thou art the word, and it pierces into our soul so that thou may be revealed in our soul, never to be taken away again. But Lord, as much as this was hard for us to comprehend or understand, we pray that thou would bring this into the heart for us tonight. Pray it for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.